Welcome to Spiritual Happy Hour. Welcome to Spiritual Happy Hour.
And Merry Christmas, see?
Yeah.
Joy to the world.
Joy to the world. That's
Merry
it.
Merry Christmas.
Joy is joy to the world. You know, it's so exciting because you may be listening to this or watching this video anytime, and it may or may not be Christmas, but we're celebrating Christmas today.
Yes,
and
exactly.
It's so exciting. We're Spiritual Happy Hour, if this is the first time you've joined us, is loosely inspired by A Course in Miracles.
It's getting looser and looser.
Yes. Yes, it is getting looser and looser. So, Merry Christmas.
Marilyn, what is the best gift you've ever received?
Oh, that is a tricky one. You know, I think the best gift I ever received was my son. Aww. I mean, he wasn't born in December, but I was big and pregnant in December and directed Godspell at our high school, Field Kinley Memorial High School in Coffeyville, Kansas. And he was just the best gift ever.
I love that. Isn't it? You know, we tend to think of our kids as the best gift ever and babies as the best gift ever. And that's what I want to talk to about today is the best gift ever. Because I have a slightly different perspective on it.
Oh, dear.
Are you ready for this?
I'm a little nervous.
Well, I read this quote by Richard Rohr. The people who know God well, mystics, hermits, Jesus, Mary... Those who risk everything always meet a lover, not a dictator. At first, I thought, that's not true. Jesus, or Yeshua, which was correctly his name, risked everything and he met the Romans who hung him on a cross. And Mary, just the fact alone that she was an unwed mother would have gotten her killed. And then I thought, actually, it is true. Because while Jesus was basically murdered, he did ultimately meet a lover, God, his father. And Mary, well, she met the greatest love of all, Jesus. I think everyone knows the story of Jesus and how he basically sacrificed his life to teach us the truth with a capital T, which is that true reality presents a world of peace and safety and joy. And since today is Christmas, I think it is a wonderful time to talk about Jesus and even his mother Mary, who may very well have been the best Christmas gift ever. Yes, Mary. Why Mary? Well, let me share this with you. I mean, what an amazing story, and one that much of the world believes and agrees on the basics, which are, number one, Mary conceived Jesus of immaculate conception. And number two, Jesus was a human being like you and me. He walked the planet. He got up every day. He ate meals. He wore clothes. He got dressed and he went to work. And this is where the story seems to fall apart. His job was to teach humanity, teach us that there was much more to life than we are understanding and that we are much more powerful than we realize. And he did this by actually doing. By modeling things that we think about it still kind of blows our mind, like walking on water, changing water to wine, healing the sick, and so much more. And people immediately say, well, Jesus can do that, but not me. Whether you believe these stories truly happen or they're just a metaphor, which is also very interesting, doesn't really matter because the message is still the same. True reality or love presents a world of peace and safety and joy. So it's Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua, as I've come to know him through the channelings of Marilyn Harper, which are truly amazing. And most people, especially Christians, those who are celebrating Christmas today because of his birth, believe that the Immaculate Conception of Jesus is true, but not that they or we can do what he did. I mean, think about that. How many immaculate conceptions have you ever witnessed in your lifetime? I don't know of any others. Do you guys? I'm not a religious scholar or biblical expert by any means. I'm just sharing things with you that I think about. things that I've come to better understand through A Course in Miracles, which is just one path to the truth. There are many. It just happens to be one that has helped me to understand reality and live a life of more peace, more safety, and more joy. And who doesn't want that, right? So today, let's take a look at lessons 21 through 25 in A Course in Miracles, because I think it's so relative to Christmas and to Jesus and to Mother Mary. Lesson number 21 is, I am determined to see things differently, because this is what Jesus really wanted for us, and Buddha wanted the same, is for us to see things differently. Why? Because most of our thoughts make us unhappy. It's a ridiculous amount of daily thoughts, something like over 80%. And I've talked about this many times. We all come up against this in our lives. We get this big idea or an immaculate conception that we are supposed to do something amazing, like create a miracle, to help shift the planet, to help humanity. And we get super excited. But then we back down because it gets hard. Or someone tells us we can't do that. Or those 80,000 thoughts begin to confuse us. Can you imagine the Christmas story if Mary said, oh no, I can't do this. No one's going to believe this story. What, are you crazy? Tell the world I'm pregnant, but I didn't have sex with anyone? Yeah, right, sure. I mean, what would have happened? And what about Joseph? Yeah, so let me get this straight. Some angel told you to tell me I'm going to be the father, but we never did it. No sex. This baby that you're going to have with me just happened, and you're still a virgin? Can you imagine? Yet, according to PewResearch.org, as of 2020, 1/3 of the population, or 31.11% of the world, believes this story. 2.8 billion people believe this, more than any other organized religion. And those are just the Christians. Who knows how many more people believe this story that don't call themselves Christians? I listened to an inspirational speaker named Bonnie O'Boyle, who first pointed out this perspective in one of her talks, and I thought this was genius. So credit where credit's due. Thank you, Bonnie. I mean, can you imagine? So now you've got a virgin who is pregnant with the child of God. It gets better. And so Joseph has agreed to be the human father. I'm not sure if they were officially ever married, which would be another belief system, but back to the story. So ACIM lesson 21, again, I'm determined to see things differently. We buy the story of Immaculate Conception, even though we all know how the birds and the bees work, yet Mary's going to have a baby. Meanwhile, King Herod, the ruler of the land, hears a rumor that a new king is about to be born. And King Herod, he's paranoid. He lives in fear. He even killed members of his own family because he thought they were trying to take his throne. He lies and he tells everyone, I too want to worship the new king. Bring me this new baby king child, which is ACIM lesson 22. What I see is a form of vengeance, or what I see is a form of my negative thinking. In King Herod's mind, everyone is out to get him. He needs to protect himself, right? His riches. Always, the world is a terribly unsafe place. And like all of us humans, he too has 40 to 50,000 negative thoughts running through his head daily, and he's choosing to listen to those negative thoughts. We all know the story. What he really wants to do is kill the new baby king. It is his own attack thoughts that are creating this scenario. He is actually, with his thoughts, manifesting the story of Jesus being the new king because he's so afraid of a rumor he hears. It's not even true in that moment. Jesus is just a baby lying in a manger. How could he ever possibly overthrow King Herod? Can you imagine this? King Herod is actually manifesting this by putting his fear into action. And then Mary and Joseph realize, shoot, we need to get out of town. This, of course, was before Mary gave birth. Just knowing that the king is going crazy out of his mind with fear and has ordered that all baby boys be killed. You know, so Mary and Joseph, about to become parents, do what any parents would do. Run! They get out of town. The baby's coming. They need to protect it fast. But how? I mean, can you imagine the state they were in? Like, they totally get that this baby they are about to give birth is special. They believe, they know he's the Son of God, but they're also realistic. There are Roman soldiers knocking on every door. So Joseph gets a donkey because Mary's about to pop. She's 9 months pregnant. Her water could break at any moment, and there's a maniac king who's looking to kill their baby. Now, here again, can you imagine? I mean, imagine this scene. If you've ever been pregnant or known anyone who was pregnant and have been with them in this last moment just before they give birth, being a mother of two children myself, I can speak from experience. At that moment of 9 months, and Mary's water could break any moment, and that baby is coming regardless of King Herod, Mary is in extreme discomfort, and it's only getting worse. That moment before a woman goes into birth is the most extreme discomfort short of the birth itself. Her belly's big, she feels huge and awkward, her breasts are about to pop and they hurt, her ankles are swollen and achy. She's not running away from King Herod. She's not even going to walk away. And Joseph, bless his heart, he shows up with a donkey. I mean, have you ridden a donkey? They bounce. This is the last thing a 9-month pregnant woman wants to do. Mary had to have taken one look at that donkey and just thought, or maybe even said out loud, there's no frickin' way I'm going to ride that donkey all the way to Bethlehem. Because that's how pregnant women are. They're extremely uncomfortable. And then, as she realizes this is just how it's going to be, and climbs up courageously on that donkey, and hours later, they finally bounce their way into Bethlehem, she's tired. She's probably a little cranky, and she just wants to soak in a bathtub, get her feet up above her heart, and relieve some of the swelling in her ankles. But guess what? The baby's coming. He's moving around. Maybe she's even dilating by now. Who knows? Maybe her water has even broke. And Joseph knows, I got to get her a room now. And he goes to all the inns and he inquires about a room for he and his very pregnant wife. I mean, he must have been begging, please, a broom closet, anything. But nope, no rooms at the inns. He must have been like, are you kidding me, God? This is not happening. I mean, we're about to give birth to your son. And this is where ACIM lesson number 23 comes in. About manifesting, because they need a place and they need it now. And lesson number 23 is, I can escape from this world by giving up attack thoughts. We see this in the movie The Matrix when Morpheus says, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. And this is really good news. It tells us that we can actually control the situation by controlling our thoughts, by walking the path. And Mary and Joseph? They were walking the path. So Joseph finally manages to secure a barn with a manger. I mean, good on Joseph, right? He manifested a space for Mary to give birth to his new baby. And the conversation could have gone something like this. Honey, I found a room. Yay. It's over there. And he points to a barn. Stop right there. Another thing about pregnant women, smells make them crazy. And what about the cleanliness? I mean, we're having a baby here. We need a sanitized, scrubbed space. There must have been manure and the smells associated with that, not to mention the rank odor of the animals sharing the space. But Mary didn't go there. She didn't start whining and making the situation worse. She walked the path. She gave up her attack thoughts and focused on the mission at hand. By focusing on love, she was literally able to escape all the thinking that could have potentially made that situation unbearable or worse, completely unsuccessful. She managed to relax enough to have the baby right there in that barn with all of the animals and all of the odors. Mind over matter, consciousness creates form. I mean, who knows? Maybe if they had gotten a room at the inn, that's more of what King Herod probably would have expected. and maybe Jesus would have been found and killed. Who would have suspected a barn? Well, Mary was able to forgive the situation, to look past what surely seemed like reality, and we all know what happened. Baby Jesus was born. Which brings me to lesson number 24. I do not perceive my own best interests. Let's face it, with those 80% negative thoughts we're all thinking daily and all of the stories we're literally making up about what could possibly go wrong, you got to just know that your brain doesn't always take the best course of action for the highest good of all. I mean, your brain is constantly distorting reality, constantly making up stories on the fly before they even exist. And this is where faith comes in. This is where getting still and trusting your intuition, even though it makes no earthly sense whatsoever, comes in. This is where the truth of the matter must have been that Joseph and Mary were encouraging each other to stay focused on the outcome. Focus on what they want, the baby, right? The mission at hand. And get really still and drop into their heart and remain in a place of love despite all of the chaos and craziness unfolding all around them. Let's rewind this story. This is what our brain will tell us. Now, we're in the barn with Joseph and Mary and all of the animals and all of the smells and the manure, and Mary's water is broke and she's dilating, and we see the head of the baby, and Joseph is telling her, "Push, push, this is happening." And right now is about the time she could have screamed to Joseph, "You did this to me." Maybe, maybe not, who knows? Pregnant women do all kinds of things in response to pain or just another word for fear, but Mary's walking the path. This was not about what Mary perceived as her best interests. I mean, obviously, right? A donkey ride for hours to a foreign city in a dirty barn to give birth to avoid a maniac trying to kill her baby? Who would choose that? No, this was a divine mission. It was about Mary and Joseph realizing this was so much bigger than both of them. This was about changing the world. And they believed this, even though they had no proof that the world would change because of this baby. ACIM lesson number 24 states specifically, "I am willing to follow the guide God has given me to find out what my own best interests are, recognizing that I cannot perceive them by myself." Faith, right? Belief that the message Mary got from the angel was true. And that was Mary's job, to have this baby, no matter what. I mean, can you imagine Mary and Joseph? What have we got ourselves into? And maybe they did, maybe they had moments of doubt along the way, but I'll bet not for long. Maybe they had moments of questioning and thinking, "I can't do this. This is much bigger than me." I mean, they're human, right? That's part of the human experience. Doubt, just another word for fear. Which brings me to the final ACIM lesson in this story, lesson number 25. Interesting, lesson number 25 for December 25th. Hadn't really thought about that before, but that's kind of cool. The lesson is, "I do not know what anything is for." A Course in Miracles says, do not bend reality to your tiny experience or limit its purpose to your little personal thoughts. Tiny reality? A baby is born in a barn. I'm sure this happens more than we realize, but it's certainly not the norm. Limit its purpose? Babies are born every day. How many have had the impact on the planet that baby Jesus was about to have? To me, today, Christmas, is like the perfect story that God is trying to get through to us. And if you struggle with the word God or even Jesus, I totally get it. I did too. It's all part of the illusion that humanity has created and the meaning that we've given to these words. We've been taught that there's fear in God and pain in Jesus. But a friend of ours, Catherine Gundling, who leads our silent retreats for Marilyn and I, she taught us something so powerful. Just replace the word God or Jesus or Buddha or any of these religious names that seem to trigger people, and instead use the word love. Isn't that awesome? I did this for a while, and I came back to really loving the word God and the word Jesus, because that's the real teaching. God is only love. Jesus is only love. And all that fear-based stuff, pain and suffering, that's man. That's the man-made illusion created here on earth to keep you afraid, because fear will block you from your power. Fear would have blocked the birth of baby Jesus. Fear will block you from your power of creation, of manifestation, of healing. But love, love will bring all of those things to you. ACIM lesson number 25, I do not know what anything is for. Basically, the Course is saying every single person, every single thing that happens is in your best interest. The Immaculate Conception, the donkey ride, the barn and the manger, even King Herod, all in Joseph, Jesus, and Mary's best interest. And the Course goes on to remind us, the purpose I, or humanity, have given the world has led to a frightening picture of it. Think of King Herod. He was afraid that he would lose his power, that someone would take his riches. And in his fear, he quite literally got the word out about the baby king. You know how they say, all news is good news? Perfect example of it there. And that new baby king, his purpose was never to take King Herod's riches. That was never his intent. And who knew you could give birth to a king in a barn? Lesson number 25, I do not know what anything is for, goes on to say, let me open my mind to the world's real purpose by withdrawing the one I have given it and learning the truth about it. We so often sabotage our greatest missions in life. This is something I teach how to break through in my Mission Possible course on solopreneur.com. Mary and Joseph certainly could have sabotaged their mission had they let their minds get in the way. It would have been only Mary's mind that would have said, this barn is not sanitized. My baby will be born with disease. It's impossible to give birth here. Who knows? That could have been her manifestation. All fear, right? But that didn't happen. And Joseph at any time could have just said, this is ridiculous. I did not sign up for this, Mary. You did. You do it. I don't want any part on this. More fear, right? But that didn't happen either. And that night on Christmas, a healthy baby boy was born to Mary and Joseph and to the world because they believed in love. They believed God was love. They believed being the parents of Jesus or Yeshua, which historians believe is his real name and Marilyn's channelings of Yeshua. He's actually told us that. Mary and Joseph believed being Yeshua's parents was their mission on the planet, and a third of the world believes this or more. Whether you believe this story really happened or it's a metaphor doesn't really matter. What matters is who would walk in the shoes of Joseph? Who would walk in the shoes of Jesus or Yeshua? But really, who would walk in the shoes of Mary? Because remember, Mary could have been stoned to death at that time because she was an unwed mother. That was completely illegal. Only someone who really, really loves deeply. That's why I think Mary may well have been the best Christmas gift ever. As Richard Rohr said, that I quoted from the opening of my talk, the people who know God well, the mystics, the hermits, Mary, those who risk everything, always meet a lover, not a dictator. Here's to love and here's to Mary. Merry Christmas, everyone. And speaking of Yeshua and the Council of Light and Adironda, I wonder what message Marilyn Harper will channel. We're going to take a brief 5 minute or so max break when you can enjoy the music of Master Randy Luna, and then we will be back with a very special Christmas message from Marilyn and Adironda and the Council of Light.
Ah, so it is good day to you, huh? Ah, very good to see you and you and you and each of you here in virtual reality or no. Ah, in physical. Ah, dearest beings, your radiant light seems even more radiant today. For you understand that in this energy of creation, in this energy of the newness, the love within you is also expanded. And it is interesting to know that at this time of year, the suicide rate is up as well. For the depression rate is up, as well as the joy rate. So it is a bit of the dichotomy. It is a, what is that called, an anomaly, an oxymoron. Something that is opposite is happening right here, in this moment, possibly. So we are going to shift that energy just a bit to bring you that actual energy and frequency of love. Dearly beloveds, it was quite a story, eh? The possibility of having the babies of a land, an entire country, killed just because they were baby boys. The possibility of a mother unwed, killed, simply because of being unwed. The possibility of giving birth. In circumstances that were not ideal. And yet it all happened. There are many who argue the fact today whether my birth was from a virgin or my birth was conceived in the traditional way or whether my birth was conceived in the way of the Essenes. Without that intercourse. My statement to you, what does it matter? No matter how I was conceived within the belly, the uterus of my dear sacred mother Mary, that still makes my birth a miracle, just as your birth is a miracle. All babies have a miraculous presence on this planet. I was human. I was created with the knowingness of who I am at the moment I was conceived. I wish to remind you that at the moment of your conception, you also know who you are. My mother and Joseph, bless them. They only held me, even within Mary, my mother, in love. Only love, only God, only truth, only wisdom, with no fear. For they were being led, and they were following their guidance. It is unfortunate that from that time to this, doubt has entered the program. Fear has entered the program, and the babies that are born now carry the feeling or intention of their parents throughout the pregnancy. So if the mother thinks, oh, I don't like feeling this way, the baby's interpretation is, I don't like feeling this. When I arrived, they knew I was a bit different. I knew my origin. I did not have language to speak, as I learned later. However, when that donkey with the broken tail, that someone had actually broken the bones and cartilage in his tail so it could no longer wag, as my mother was carrying me, I reached out to touch it, and the bones were healed. That was one of the first indications after I was born that I was a little unusual. I wish to tell you, no matter where you are in your life, no matter where you are in your strife, no matter where you are in your vision of joy, we are the same. Human DNA. So think back. Remember your moment of conception. That was the moment when you knew who you were. Bring that into now. Bring that into your present world. You are me. I am your brother. Our talents and skills may be a bit different, but the essence of them is the same. Many times, if one person in a family can sing, they all can, most of the time. If one person in a family is a dancer, they all have that skill if they choose to expand it. Why does it seem different with this family, with my brothers and sisters? It is not. In this year, and even though you know that I wasn't really born on December 25th, but at this time of the changing seasons, of the solstice, of the moon sequence and the stars, I ask you, be who you truly are. And your gifts of healing, your gifts of sight, your gifts of acknowledging the inner wisdom that the Creator has instilled in each of you will awaken and rise to the surface to be accommodated. And for that, I am thankful. I love you so much. I give you thanks for your courage to be here at this time. Toda. Toda. Gadosh, 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 Adonai, Savaot.